Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's our God tonight. Amen. He's not just the master of the wind. He's master of it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. You can have your seats for a moment. Amen. God bless you tonight. Our brother Dilly is up in preaching up in Phoenix tonight. So just pray that the Lord would bless him, and he'll be back with us, however, this weekend, so we look forward to that. Amen. Amen. Everybody enjoy that last Sunday, those messages. Amen. That was a real blessing, wasn't it? Amen. And just a reminder that Saturday, this Saturday at 6, we'll be having a youth meeting with our brother as well. And I do want to make a clarification. So we said that the qualifying youth are ages 13 to 30 if you're single. But what we have done in the past with our youth camps and so forth is if you turn 13 in this calendar year, then you're considered 13. So just to clarify that, the question was asked. No, we have at least one that fits into that category. So just to make it clear, if you're 13 sometime this calendar year, that's fine. We have to cut it off somewhere, right? You say, well, what about the ones who were born in January? Well, we have to cut it somewhere. We could keep going with that, but we have to have a cutoff there. And we're thankful that a number of sisters have stepped forward to provide some refreshments for the youth afterwards, so we thank them for that. And just want to encourage, the youth, come expecting, come 30 minutes early, just like service. It'll be service. It'll be your service. And if you expect, then God will move. And it doesn't matter. It's going to be small. It doesn't matter how small, how great. You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how all the people, how many times I know and I've been blessed in small services and home services. Brother Branham loved preaching small home services. And, you know, if you were going to meet Jesus physically, would you rather have there be a big crowd or a small crowd? So it doesn't really matter. Big, small, it doesn't matter. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in their midst. So it's according to your expectation. Now, if you walk in and you say, oh, there's only so many people, you know, then that's your expectation. But if you are expecting, then God will meet your expectation. Now, what that does mean is that you won't have 50 other people doing the work to create an atmosphere for you. So the smaller the group, everybody has to enter in. Amen. So we're just looking to that. And I'm hopeful. I hope that some of you older youth will make sure and be here and help the younger ones create that atmosphere, because you've got more experience, you've been through it, and you can show them and help them to enter in. We should be able to worship God no matter what. Amen. Amen. And it'll just be a special time, I believe, for our youth. Amen. Amen. It's, you know, our youth are worth investing in. Do you believe that? We want to have these meetings more often. We would like to have them more regularly. So we'll just pray that, you know, this is just a first step, and that God's gonna really bless them. Amen. You know, Brother Doug was talking about the law of reaping and sowing, and how, I mean, it's just a law. If you sow good seeds, you'll reap a good harvest. And our young people have, in front of them, all they have is harvest. You know, if they plant good seeds now, their harvest is going to be bountiful, multiplied upon multiplied. So that's what our desire is for them. Amen. To head them off from planting bad seeds and start them planting good seeds. Amen? Is that your desire too? Amen? Amen. I want to see them filled with the Spirit. I want to see them on fire for the Lord, serving God. Amen? Overcoming every one of them. Amen? How many will agree with me? Amen. You'll be praying for them? Amen. Amen. Well, there's more than two of us agreeing. Amen. So we'll just believe that God will bless them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand tonight and we'll read a little portion of Scripture. I just want to read a portion of Matthew chapter 14 here, and maybe we'll just, you know, for a little Wednesday night service here, kind of just have an evangelistic type thought tonight. And I thought the song was so appropriate that we sang there at the end. Amen. There's really, when you sing that song, "He's the Master of the Wind," there's a couple of Bible stories that come to mind, right? Well, we're going to read one of them tonight. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Now, what had happened is he had just fed the 5,000. So they had just come from this great revival meeting where Jesus was doing miracles, and he was doing things that they had never seen before. Amen. And they were wanting him to be king because he was feeding them, and it was a high point in his ministry, great meetings. And so he sends the disciples away in the ship to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." How many believe that happened?
Amen.
You believe a man walked on water?
Amen.
Two men walked on water? Amen. We're believers. "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this midweek service, Father, a time when we can just turn aside from the things of life, Lord, from the things of the world, and, Lord, hear your word, Lord, to enjoy your presence, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. We pray that you bless our brother Deli, Lord, as he ministers tonight as well. And that you would just be with him and keep him safe coming and going and give him strength for services this weekend. And Lord, I pray tonight that as each one of us has come for our daily bread, Lord, that you would just minister unto our needs tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I need you more, Lord, than ever before. And I just pray, Lord, that you would take complete control tonight and have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So I'd like just for a few minutes tonight, we'll just take take and consider this story that no doubt we've read many times and probably, you know, was a subject of Sunday school lessons and things. If we've been in this walk for very long, we've heard many sermons preached about it, of course, but we know that the Bible is food in due season, amen, and God continues to speak to us, and we glean things out of Scripture that we've heard. Maybe we've heard it over and over and over, but yet he still ministers to us from it, and he still speaks to us. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? So, as I said, this starts out with him feeding the 5,000. He just took the loaves and the fishes, multiplied them, and his ministry of miracles is fully underway. Amen? He was misunderstood. They still didn't understand all about who he was and what he was going to do. But yet he was living out the word that was written about him. He was living out what the Scripture had spoken that he would be. Is that right? So he sends his disciples away on the ship, and he says, I will meet you on the other side. And he goes by himself to pray alone. So they're going across the sea, and they're in the boat. But brothers and sisters, they didn't go on their own accord. You could look at this, you could contrast this with Jonah, right? Jonah was on a boat, on a sea, in a storm, right? But he was fighting against God's word. But they were in the line of duty. They were in obedience. Jesus had sent them. Now, they weren't doing anything special. Right? A lot of times we think, oh, you're in the line of duty. That must mean, oh, you're doing something special. You're preaching or doing some specific work of God. They were in the line of duty. They were sailing. Amen? They were doing what Jesus told them to do. Maybe they, you know, driving to church, driving to work, going to the store. They were just going from point A to point B. But yet they were living in the will of God. So they were in the line of duty. Amen? You could say walking in his will, or you could say they were sailing in his will. Amen? But they were obedient to him. They did what he told them to do. So when the storm comes up and begins to threaten them, they were there because Jesus had told them to be there. Amen? So he was watching out for them. Amen. He wasn't physically with them. The other story, of course, that we're familiar with is they're in the boat together. Right? And the storm comes up. Jesus is there in the boat with them. But this time, he's not in the boat. They're off alone, but they haven't gone off on their own accord. Amen? That's important. They haven't wandered away, so to speak. And we know that Jesus was alone and praying and seeking the Father. He had that time where he was... he had to be alone to gain his strength. Amen? But yet in that state that he was in, tired from the revival and the meetings that they've been having and the pull of the people, something speaks to him and says, they're in trouble. And we don't know if he saw a vision or how it came to him, but he knows they're in trouble. He's supposed to meet them the next day on the other side. But those plans go out the window because something has happened. The storms of life are brewing and getting in the way. Amen? Amen? But he was mindful of them. They were in the midst of that troubled sea, but he was thinking about them. And he was mindful on him. They were on his mind. So even if he's not physically with us tonight, we're on his mind. He's mindful of his children. Amen? but he didn't go to them right away. They went all night through the storm. It says that he didn't start moving until about the fourth watch, which is something, it's early, early morning, something like 3, 4, 5 in the morning. So they had gone all night sailing in the dark night in the troubled sea. And so he begins to move on his children's behalf. And he begins to walk on the water towards them. And they see him, and instead of being relieved, they're afraid. Amen? They say, oh, it's a spirit or a ghost, and they're filled with dread and fear. They think that he is something to harm them. Now, if you put yourself in their condition, in their state, they've been up all night fighting the storm. They're weary from the battle. They were already probably tired from dealing with the crowds and the people. Now they've been in this boat tossing and turning all night long, fighting the battle, under strain, not sure if they're going to see the light of day. The winds and the waves are trying to crush them and drown them. And so they're already in a state of fear and worry and strain and stress. And so now, in that state, here comes something else. You ever felt that way? Everything, just one thing after another. And then here, something else. It's just one more thing. Sometimes troubles get us so stressed that we are afraid when we shouldn't be. Outward troubles begin to cause us inward troubles. Amen? We let outward things affect our spiritual life. But instead, the trials that we experience should draw us closer to him. Amen. It should make us run to him. But instead, they're afraid of him. Amen. Let's bring this down a little closer, right? Your troubles become an occasion for the flesh to get its way. You begin to cater to your flesh because you're looking for comfort. Ever heard of comfort food? What is that? That's your flesh getting its way. Right? And that's just a natural example, right? It's not a spiritual one, but it's where you are letting down your guard, so to speak, because you're some emotional thing going on, right? And so you're letting your flesh have the preeminence. You're letting lust take over, right? They call that comfort eating, right? Your flesh isn't interested in spiritual things. So when you begin to be pressed by trials and troubles, too many times we allow our flesh to then begin to rise up. Amen. Why do you think when people have trouble, they suddenly stop coming to church? Right? The thing that should be helping them or is there to help them, they're running away from it. Why? Because they allow the flesh to rise up. Why? Because it takes effort to keep the flesh down. Right? And sometimes you just get so tired. And you just allow the flesh to have its way. The enemy knows when to attack you. Amen? The enemy will try to teach you to fear or to fight against the thing that's sent to help you. That's why our flesh fights against church. Fights sometimes against the preaching of the word. It fights against staying awake in church. Because the very thing that's sent to help you, the enemy wants to keep you from it. They were already afraid. So it was no big leap for them to be more afraid. Look at what Brother Branham says in the message, Raising Jairus' Daughter. He says, simple, uneducated minister speaking the truth, confirming, God confirming the word. He says, oh, we got a lot of quacks. I know that. We have to admit that. We got a lot of fanatics. There's nothing to. That's right. But just remember, every time you see a bogus dollar, remember there's a real one that it's made off of. It only vindicates the truth. It only shows there's a real one right in this evening time. Peter said, Lord, I'm scared of you. I don't know what to think about it, but if it be you, let me see it in the word. Right? So the enemy will put a lot of scarecrows out in the field to keep you away from your promise. That's what he's talking about, quacks and counterfeits. Every one of us has had to go through something. We've had to go through false doctrines, false churches, false leaders. We've all been through something. But that's what the true believer has to do to get through that scarecrow to get to the true word. Amen? He says it only shows there's a real one. So Peter said, Lord, I'm scared of you. I don't know what to think about it. But if it be you, let me see it in the word. Bid me come to you on the water. Let me hear your word. You see how he's lining it up? It looks like some spiritual thing that could be spiritualism or it could be wrong, right? They're afraid of it. So he wants to see it in the word. That should be our attitude. Amen? Something spiritual, something we don't know. Is it right? Is it wrong? Let me see it in the word. He says, let me hear your word. He says, now if you're scared of this baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me show it to you in the word and see if it's for you. When the Holy Ghost first fell on the day of Pentecost, they began to scream and act like what you call holy rollers today. They were jumping, dancing, and falling. Amen. See it in the word. So Jesus, walking on the water, and they're not sure. They cry out in fear. But Peter says, is that you, Lord? And his voice cuts through the wind. His voice cuts through the trouble. It cuts through the trials. It cuts through the waves. It cuts through their fear. Amen? He brings good tidings. Be not afraid. I'm not here to harm you. Amen. It's me. Oh, brother, sister, the blessing of hearing his voice. Amen. No matter what trial you're going through, just to hear his voice. Just to know he's with you. I'm here. Don't be afraid. All is well. Nothing is out of cater. Oh, what a blessing. The enemy is trying so hard to be so loud to drown out his voice. Amen? Oh, he's railing and throwing everything he can against them so that they won't hear his voice. But to us, it's clear. Be not afraid. Job chapter 9, verse 4 says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. The answer is none. Amen. Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger. He shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not. That's our God tonight, amen? And sealeth up the stars. He alone has spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He's in control. Amen. Why did he go walking on the water? Did you ever wonder that? Why did he decide to walk on the water? He had never done it before that we see recorded in the scripture. Why now? It's a good question. Amen. Was it just to prove his power? I mean, he had just turned, you know, a few little loaves and fishes into a meal to feed 5,000. I don't think anybody was doubting that he was who he said he was. Why walking on the water? He's God. Amen? It's nothing for him. He was going to his children. And it didn't matter what was in between. Oh, I just love that. There's nothing that can keep him from you. Amen? It doesn't matter what it is. It didn't matter, you know, I don't even know how big those waves were. It didn't matter. They were inconsequential. He's God. He does whatever he wants. He was showing that their worst trials were under his feet. It didn't matter how big the waves were. Oh, here comes a big one. This one's going to sink him. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how hard the trial was. It doesn't matter how bad the sickness looks. It doesn't matter how terrible the trial is. It's all under his feet. He had already spoken to the storm. They had seen him do that. He had already created a food out of almost just multiplied it right before them. But he wanted to quickly set them at ease. Aren't you glad he comes on the scene when we need him? He wanted to quickly get to his children. And brother, sister, when he comes on the scene, that's when terror is ended. That's when fear and dread have no place to remain. They can't get a foothold then. Amen? They have nothing to grab a hold of because he is there. Even death itself has to obey him. Oh, he's God. He has dominion over all tonight. Amen. It was nothing for him just to walk upon that sea. To get to his children. Oh, hallelujah. Peter sees him walking on the water and realizes it's him. And he realizes that Jesus is not affected by the trials that he's going through. He's living in a different atmosphere. He's walking above it all. It's not even affecting him. I don't know, but his hair probably wasn't even out of place. I don't know. But he wasn't affected by it. He wasn't sinking. He wasn't crying out, "Oh, I'm going to die," like they were. Here they are bobbing up and down. Tossed by the sea. Waiting for that next wave to just crush them. And he's looking at Jesus, who isn't even bothered by it. And you know what he says? I want to be with him. I'd rather be with him, what he's doing. Amen. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be in his presence. You know, as again, we've heard this story so many times, and you have different ideas in your mind about how things went. And, you know, I've always kind of thought, well, Peter, you know, he just wanted to walk on the water. Jesus is doing something. Peter wanted to do it, you know, and he was kind of impulsive, we know, and in his natural being. And probably that there's some truth to that. But you know, as I was meditating on this today, I thought, what if he really just wanted to be with Jesus? What if he wasn't even really thinking about, you know, my name's going to be written in a book someday as the second man to walk on the water. He just saw Jesus and he wanted to be where he was. Walking on the water. Seems like it's a whole lot better out there than this boat. Right. that might break up at any moment. Peter was seeing the word in action. Amen. He was seeing the living word, the word being lived out right before him. And something in him said, that's for me. Oh, brother, sister, can you relate to that tonight? When you see the word being lived out, that's what testimonies do for us. Right? You see somebody grabbing a hold of the word of God and God moving on their behalf and living out the word. And you say, yes, amen. That's for me too. Amen. That's the word of God. I believe that. And Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. He sees the word living before him. The word that has power over all the earth. And his eyes are open to the possibilities. Amen. The word does something that had never been done before. Like the time when Moses was going down to Egypt. And Brother Branham dramatizes it and says, where are you going, Egypt? Moses? Down to Egypt to take over. It had never been done before. But you know what? He did it. When they came to the Red Sea parted. That had never been done before. It happened later, many times, right? But that was, in the scripture, the first time we see that happen. Things happening that had never been done before. Just because something's never been done before, that's nothing for God. Amen? When he created everything that was, it had never been done before. Amen? Amen. When he came born of a virgin, that had never been done before. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it's been done before or not. God's word. When a promise is made and lived out, you can grab a hold of it. I was thinking about our brother Ron Spencer today when I was meditating on this. Last fall, we were with him, and he had been diagnosed with this terminal cancer. And at that time, last fall, he was like in the one percentile of people that had lived beyond what was considered, you know, a normal, however they term it, right? You only have so many months, years, whatever to live. He was in that one percentile at that time of people that had survived that long. So now I don't even know where he's at. You could say it's never been done before. Right, but that's nothing for the word. Right. Amen. Yeah. But let me tell you something, brother, sister. Peter saw Jesus doing something that had never been done before. But he took to heart and said, that word. Amen. That's the word. Right. And if God will do that for one man one time on the basis of his word, he'll do that for another man, any other man that will take him by faith. Yeah. Amen. So you look at somebody like Brother Ron. If he'll do it for him, he'll do it for you. Amen. Amen. What is it? The word doing in flesh what seems impossible. The word in flesh inspired Peter. It so inspired him that he wanted to step into it. And he wondered, Lord, does this word apply to me also? That's a good question, right? I want to know, I see this word working in your life. Does it apply to me? Amen. I see healing in the word of God. Does it apply to me? I see deliverance. Does that apply to me? I see God providing for his people. Does that apply to me? Amen. Peter asked the question. It's a question. Good question. We have to answer that. Amen. Is it for me? I see others walking in this promise. Is it for me? Brother, sister, this is a book full of promises. Amen. But those promises don't do any good unless you... No, they're for you. What good is it? Ask the question. Is it for me? Does it apply to you? You must know that it's for you. Amen? The Holy Ghost is just as much for you as it was on the day of Pentecost. You can't receive it if you don't believe that. So ask him to reveal it. That's what Peter did. He called out to the Lord. Lord, is that for me also? Essentially is what he's saying, right? Ask him to reveal it. Lord, show me in your word. Show me it's for me. I see your word says this is promised to me. Show me it's for me. Show me, reveal it to me. Peter saying, Lord, bid me come. Lord, speak to me. Tell me, can I come? Bid me to come, Lord. Is that word that I see, is that for me right now in this situation? Show me that promise, Lord. Oh, brother, sister, we've got to hear it for ourselves. We've got to hear his voice speaking to us. The Holy Spirit must speak to you and tell you, yes, this word is true. It's for you. Amen? Confirm it. Express your desire. Peter had a desire. The word built a desire in him. And so he expressed it to the Lord. You pray. You ask the Lord. You express the desire. Lord, I see it in your word. It promises this. And you pray. But then the Holy Spirit comes and drops it in your heart. There's something that drops in that you can't explain, but you know you heard from him. Oh, brother, there's nothing like that when he speaks to you. That's worth seeking him. Amen. To have that peace when he speaks. So Peter cries out, God, bid me come to you. Jesus. And Jesus, I love it. The Bible says, he said, come. One word. Come. He didn't explain to him how to walk on water. Amen. He didn't explain to him and teach him how that, you know, this, like I'm doing tonight even. Right, this promise is for you, and you know, the things that I do, will you do also, Peter? Right, all that's true. But he just said, come. Did that answer the question? Was that an answer to Peter's question? Peter said, Lord, bid me come. And he said, come. Peter wanted to know if it was the Lord's will for him to do that. He wanted to know if the promise, the thing, the power that was holding Jesus was going to hold him. The overcoming power. Is that for me too? Jesus said, come. Oh, I love it. Come, the works that I do shall you do also. You see it in the word, it's your desire. You pray based on that desire, and the Lord answers back and confirms it and says, come. Yes. Peter's about to do something that he's never done before based on one word. He's about to walk out into what many would consider certain death based on one word. But you know, Jesus was kind of like that. Remember when he cast all the demons out of the maniac at Gadara? He only used one word. Go. Amen. I'd much rather hear come, wouldn't you? To the demons, it's go. But to his children, it's come. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. Amen. Hallelujah. What a difference. Amen. Amen. One word, but what a difference. The Spirit and the bride say, come. To all who are thirsty, come. He says, come unto me, all you that are weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We want as many as possible to come. Amen? We're not trying to push people away. We want them to come. Come to Jesus. He's drawing men. Peter didn't stand back, or Jesus didn't stand back and say, well, Peter, you know, you're not spiritual enough for this. You know, I have a different position than you. He didn't set him, you know, himself. He was God in flesh. And yet he didn't put himself in that place like that. Instead, he manifested that scripture, the works that I do shall you do also. Amen? That's how we know, you know, when it's not the Spirit of Christ, when men lift themselves up. Right. Jesus was Jesus. Right. But he walked humbly. Amen. And this overcoming power of the word isn't special for him. It was for Peter too. Amen? Right. Amen. Jesus essentially said, yeah, Peter, you can be in revival too. I know you guys are in trouble over there in the boat. I'm over here having a revival. You can have revival too. Amen? So Peter had a choice. He's standing now with a choice. He didn't really have a choice before, but now he's got a choice. Go or stay. Amen? Fortunately for Peter, I don't think he thought about it. Amen? You know, people that kind of examined the personalities in the Bible, Peter was very, he didn't put a lot of thought sometimes before he spoke or before he acted, right? He was very impetuous. And I believe he didn't really even think about it. I think he just went. He just did it. The problem was he thought about it later, right? But he just steps out. Amen? He just thinks, or he just steps out when Jesus says, come, so he's going. Now, brother and sister, that's good. When Jesus says, come, you don't need to think about it. There's no thought to put in it. He said, come, I'm going. Amen? So he starts moving. And maybe he even didn't even think about what he was doing. His feet just started moving on their own. Yeah. Right. Right? He just started being pulled, and before he knew it, he was out of the boat, and what's going on? He's walking to Jesus, walking on the water. Now, brother and sister, this isn't a calm little pond for his first time doing this. Right? Peter doesn't have any experience with this. You think that maybe Jesus would have picked a nice calm day for the first run, right? You've seen the lake when it's just calm and you can just, looks like mirror glass. That's when I would want to walk on the water, wouldn't you? But no, it's in the middle of a storm. It's when the waves are threatening to toss him, right? Flip him over. You see, Jesus has come on the scene in the middle of a battle. We didn't just get caught, tossed into a little calm little pond here on earth, did we? We didn't just get tossed into a life of, oh, the devil don't attack me because I'm having a bad day, right? Just give me an easy day. That's not how the enemy plays. We get tossed into a battle, don't we? And the enemy doesn't fight fair. And it's all we've known is battle after battle after battle. There'll be time to rest on the other side. But there's waves all around. They're menacing. They're threatening. They're trying to kill him. Everything is screaming out against his faith. Against the word of God. Against what Jesus has told him. The Bible says the wind was boisterous. And he was afraid. You see, the wind was boisterous, number one. Number two, he was afraid. And then the Bible says he was beginning to sink. Amen? If he hadn't been paying attention to the boisterous waves, like when he first stepped out, he wouldn't have been afraid and he wouldn't have started to sink. But we know that his eyes turned from Jesus and began to look at the waves. Amen? Brother Branham said that if you want to receive your healing, he says, you stop thinking about that sickness and you start thinking about Jesus. It's not that you don't acknowledge it. Yeah, I'm in a battle. Yeah, I'm fighting this sickness. But you don't dwell your thoughts on it. You dwell your thoughts on your healing, on the promise, on the word, on Jesus. That goes for every kind of trial. What are you meditating on? What are you looking at? What are you beholding? If you start to regard the trials and troubles, they start to get bigger. They loom larger. And fear will stop you. Fear stopped Peter. It wasn't a wave. It doesn't say a wave crashed over Peter and then he got afraid. No. Fear stopped him. His human mind had caught up. Amen. He stepped out of his mind for just a little bit and let faith take over. But now suddenly his human mind caught up. And he looked around and his human mind said, "What are you doing, Peter?" Amen. Now look, brother, sister, is it reasonable to be afraid of waves? Is it reasonable to be afraid of a storm? Sure. Amen. Thinking that way will keep you alive. Amen. It's wisdom that's there to protect you. You don't go off into a storm and throw yourself overboard and right? That's reasonable thinking. But you see, he had "Thus saith the Lord." He had the word of God. And when you have "Thus saith the Lord," then reasoning has to take a back seat. Now, the problem is, brother, sister, is we have two extremes often. Right? We have people that claim to be so spiritual that they have no common sense. Right? And they're not really that spiritual. They just claim to have that high level of spirituality and they have no common sense at all. Well, God gave you common sense. So you don't die. Amen? But others become so fixed on their reasoning and look to that human ability so much that they miss the power of faith. Amen. So we understand that both operate and both are useful in their place. Reasoning in its place below faith. Amen. If you don't have a word from the Lord from it, you better not go walking on the water. I'll just say, put it that way. Amen. The other disciples didn't. And good for them. They didn't have the word from the Lord. Amen. But Peter had been called. Come on. Amen. And so he had "Thus saith the Lord" on it. But yet he let his reasoning overcome him. And when reasoning begins to overthrow the word of God, that's when fear creeps in. Amen. This walk, brother, sister, is a walk of total surrender. Total surrender means surrendering your will and your reasoning. Amen. It's letting God's word have the preeminence. It's letting God's word, even though it doesn't make a bit of sense, letting God's word have its position in your life. Amen. God said so. Jesus said, "Come." So Peter, dealing with his humanity, looking at the waves, is in a different kind of a battle now. Because he's in a battle with his flesh. Amen? The external battle now has become a battle of will. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can somebody relate to this tonight? It doesn't matter what the external battle is so much. It's how you fight that battle within your own flesh that matters. It didn't matter what was going on around him. It was his battle of his reasoning with the word. And if he had won that battle, he would overcome anything. And that's true for us tonight, brother, sister. It doesn't matter so much the specifics of what you're... Every one of us is going through trials. Every one of us goes through troubles in life. But the real battle is how you deal with it in regards to the Word of God. Amen. Faith says God said so. How am I walking on the water? Doesn't matter. God said so. The thing was, he was doing it. Amen. We can take that land. How are we going to do it? It don't matter. God said so. He said we possessed it. You can have it. How are we going to do it? Don't worry about it. God said so. How are we going to defeat death? How are we going to cheat death in this hour? Every generation has come up, gone down into the grave. But there's coming one who won't. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Same way Peter walked on the water. God said so. God's word's going to do it. One day he's going to say to his bride, come. Hallelujah. And she's going to be living in such a state of expectation. She's going to have crucified her flesh and her reasoning that she's not going to hesitate to step out of this boat and meet him in the air. He's going to say, come, come up higher. Amen. And that word is going to have the preeminence. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? So fear begins to grip Peter, and he begins to sink. Brother Branham tells a story one time about a crippled girl who was healed in Brother Jack Coe's meetings. Brother Jack Coe is also, you know, a great man of faith in terms of healing campaigns and things. And the story that's told is the girl comes up for healing. She's crippled. Jack Coe prays for her. She's healed. Stands up. Walks off the stage, completely healed. Walks over to where her mother is. Sees her mother. And suddenly becomes crippled again. And of course the critics just latched onto that. And they said, well, you never saw that happen with Jesus' ministry. You never saw that in the Bible. And they used that as an attack on divine healing. And Gordon Lindsay defended Jack Coe with this scripture in the Bible. He said, look at Peter. And Brother Branham spoke about that. And he said, that's right. And said that you're healed as long as you believe that you're healed. Peter was walking on water as long as he believed he could. As soon as he doubted he could, he stopped. He started to sink. Amen? As long as you believe you're healed, you're healed. As long as you believe you're saved, you're saved. As long as you believe every promise, they're yours. She simply stopped. Isn't that tragic? A tragic. I mean, she was walking off the stage. She was well, healed. But yet something, when she saw her mother, she got fear gripped her. And she lost her faith. Tragic, isn't it? So Peter's faith falters as he begins to look at the symptoms. And they start to overcome him. But he does the right thing. He cries out, oh, Lord, save me. Amen. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, if you don't know what to do, If you don't know, Lord, I don't know anything else to do. In this situation, I don't know what to do. It's always, always appropriate to cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Peter cries out, Lord, save me. Now, Peter was a man that was born on the sea. Amen. They lived out there. They were fishermen. Do you think he was a powerful swimmer? I mean, at one point he jumps off the boat and swims to Jesus. Remember when after the crucifixion and he's got the fish and stuff on the shore? And he's a swimmer. He's a good swimmer. But Peter doesn't rely on his ability. Amen. He's met his match. He knows that there's only one that can save him. Oh, brother, sister, what a great place to be, where we're just trusting in him. Amen. Leaning on him. Oh, he cries out, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. That's what we should do, brother, sister, when we feel our faith begin to falter. Lord, help me. Help thou my unbelief. Don't run away. Amen. Too many people run away from God. Or stay away from church. Their faith begins to falter and they go the opposite way. That's the wrong thing to do. Run to him. Don't stay away. Cry out to him. Cry out to Jesus. I can't save myself. Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. All right, we need to put it in high gear here. Okay, let's read a statement out of the message here. I've got several quotes that I'm going to share with you. This is from Perfect Faith. It says, Peter, he was doing all right till he got scared. The word told him he could walk on the water. He was scared at first, and he thought it was a ghost. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come on. Now, that's just the same as James 5:14. The same as Mark 16, those verses pertaining to healing, right? To doing signs and wonders, to doing works. He said it's the same God that said it, said, come on. So he started walking. He done all right, got on out of the ship, started walking on. But there was a storm on the sea, you know, great white cap waves, bigger than these hills around here. That's pretty big. The foam breaking on top of them, terrific. Maybe 15, 20 feet of foam. The white caps breaking, and that was a terrific thing for him to ask, if it be you, Lord. See, he looked like a shadow or a spirit. And he said, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And he stepped out and said, it's the Lord, I'll just walk. But when he got his eyes on the waves, he got scared. What come in his mind? The first thing was, I'm going to walk because the word said for me to walk. And the next thing, he looked at his symptoms. See, he should just stop there. The word said it. That's good enough for me. He looked out there and seen how big the waves was, and he got scared. And when he did, down he went, see? What he feared happened. What he believed happened. When he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed, got scared in his belief, and then his substance left him. See, he still professed his faith, but he didn't have the substance. The substance would have went right over the top of that white cap and went right on to him, see, if he had had perfect faith. But he didn't have it. He thought he did. He did at first. He was willing to venture right out. Why, the Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. So he stepped right out of the boat and takes off. And he never thought about the waves. How contrary they was, and he never got that in his mind. That was how he started out. Right. Amen? That was how he had perfect faith. By not considering the waves. Not even thinking about it. Not worrying about it. Amen? But he cries out, Lord, help me. And the Bible says immediately, Jesus covered all of that distance. And immediately, he stretched out his hand and was there. I'm so thankful for his hand tonight, aren't you? Think of that song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Amen? That's grace, brother, sister. Even when our faith falters, even when Peter's faith began to falter and he began to doubt the promise, Brother Branham says he lost the substance. Faith is the substance, right? He still professed to have the faith, but he lost the substance of it. Doubt moved in, yet grace came and overcame. Jesus came on the scene. Even when our faith falters, he moves in and lifts us up. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen? Peter might have faltered. He might have lost his faith. But brother, sister, he walked on water. That's what faith did. Amen? Amen. All right, let's read some of these quotes here. Got several in them. We'll close tonight. Then Jesus came. Brother Branham says, this may be your darkest hour. I don't know, but God does. But just in that darkest hour, when they were about ready to go down, then Jesus come, walking over the waters, just all undisturbed. The big waves just flattened out in front of him as he walked along. Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come to you. He said, come on, walk out here, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. You see how he ties that scripture right in there? Peter was asking, he was wondering. Certainly, he's still watching. And these strange things about it, when those disciples were helpless and hopeless, when Jesus came to them, it was the only thing that could help them. And they were afraid of him and they were scared of him. From raising Jairus' daughter, step out in the open and start walking, he says. Amen. Step out of that little old theology you're wrapped around tonight and say, God, I want the Holy Ghost. I don't care what anybody says. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, you say, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. Well, you're sure making a mistake sitting where you are. That's right. I'll have Christ for men. I have a lot of respect for Peter when he stepped out of the boat. He did make a mistake. He started to look around and see, I got it, boys, I got it. And he started sinking. It ain't nothing you have to go bragging about. It's something you want to run along and testify about and tell the world that Jesus Christ, not yourself. Amen. Don't brag on yourself. Brag on him. Put deity to him where it belongs. Put the power and praise to him, not on some preacher or anything else. Don't think that you're something great. It's God's mercy that called you to it. That's right. Amen. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen. That was fulfilled with Peter, wasn't it? The only thing between him and sinking to the bottom of the ocean was Jesus' hand. Amen. And so many times that's the way we feel. He holds us. Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve tonight. He says, come. Amen. And if you can't make it, he'll come and get you. He'll help you. Enticing spirits. He says, enticing spirits bursting the word of God. Let loose, let go. How do you do it, Brother Branham? Just let go. That's all you have to do. Take God's word. Don't try to work up nothing. Don't get down at the altar and beat on it and holler, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. He ain't coming. You beating on that altar, that don't do no good. That ain't the way he comes. It's taking him at his word. Taking him at his word. When he's talking about beating on the altar, he's talking about the Pentecostals that were trying to force it. Right? And we've probably all seen it where they're trying to get somebody to speak in tongues and they're trying to push. But he says that's not it. It's stepping out of the boat. Look at Peter. He says Peter was in a terrible, looked like he was going to die. And he seen the Lord come walking on the water and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. Lord said, come on. And Peter said, now, wait a minute, Lord, let me go on a 40-day fast. Nope. Let's see if I can walk on the water or not. No, he didn't think about it. Oh, Lord, let me get enough spirit on me till I can dance in the spirit and speak in tongues in this boat. Then I can step out. No. He just took God at his word. He let loose and let go. God took him through. That's why we say so many times, just let go and let God. Amen. That's what Peter did. Jesus said, come, and he just let go. He didn't try to hold. He didn't try to do something. He didn't try to work something up. He just stepped out by faith. Psalm 61:2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Amen. It don't matter how big the waves are tonight. It don't matter how big the storm is. There's a rock that's higher. There's a safe place. There's one that can calm the storm. He's calling us to a higher place tonight, brother, sister. He's calling us to live above that. Amen. He's calling us not to consider those things, not to be affected by those things, to walk on the water. Amen. We're not out here walking on literal water tonight, but we are supposed to walk over the storms of life. We are not to consider the circumstances of the trials and troubles that we face. We are supposed to be walking by faith. We are supposed to be walking according to his call and his word. He has called us to a high calling. He's called us to be his bride, his body here on earth, living and manifesting the word of God. He has said to us, come. Live an overcoming life in Laodicea. Come out of her, my people. Don't be partakers of her iniquity. Live a holy life. Come. That's his word for us. Amen. We shouldn't be considering the circumstances around us. Oh, Laodicea is getting dark. Duh. You've been called out of it. Walk on it. Walk above it. Don't let it affect you. Amen. When we're raptured out of here, brother, sister, there will not be the smell of the stench of Laodicea found on this bride anywhere. Why? She's walking on it. She's walking on the water. Amen. Walk by faith, not by sight. He said, come, that's enough. Laying down our reasoning. Brother Doug said something Wednesday night that I want to touch back on just as we're closing tonight. He said, we've had plenty of teaching. You remember him saying that? We've had plenty of teaching. We are well taught, well fed. But now it's time to take a hold of it. It's time to possess it. It's time to walk in it. Let's take a hold of these promises. Let's walk in what we've been taught. You say, oh, but it seems so far. It seems so out of my reach. How do I do that? One step. Peter took one step out of the boat. That's how it starts. It starts with a Wednesday night service. With you taking one step. Walking toward a promise. And say, Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know any of the particulars. I'm not even thinking about it. The only thing I'm thinking about is you. I want to be with you, and you made a promise. And I'm going to take a step towards that promise. Let's stand to our feet tonight. You take one step like that, and then you know what? Tomorrow, you take another step. The next service, you take another step. Amen? And that's how you begin to overcome. One step over another. Pretty soon you're like Enoch, who took that one final step. We walk with him day by day by day. If Peter had just taken it one step at a time, focused on Jesus, focused on his promise, he wouldn't have sunk. But brother, sister, he had enough faith to get out of the boat. Too many times believers with so much at our disposal won't even get out of the boat. Let's bow our heads. Father, tonight we're so thankful, Lord, for these examples in Scripture, Lord. Just simple little stories, Lord, but such power, oh God. Examples to us that encourage us, Lord, and exhort us. Lord, they're your word to us to sometimes correct us, but always, Lord, for our good. And we thank you for it tonight. Father, I pray that you would just bless this little word that's gone forth tonight. I pray that you would help every member of this congregation tonight, everyone that listens in or is listening in, everyone that might listen or watch at a later time, Father, I pray that you would help your children everywhere, Lord, to step out in faith, Father, to continue to walk by faith. Maybe many have been walking for many years, but yet, Lord, even sometimes when we've been walking this walk for so long, yet sometimes the trials of life beat us down and we begin to get our focus on something else, Lord. We begin to lose the joy of our salvation. We begin to consider the waves. Lord, help us not to consider the waves tonight. Help us not to look at the troubles of life, Lord, but just keep our eyes focused on you, Father. Sometimes we just need that reminder, Lord, that we just need to keep our eyes on you, to listen for your voice, to hear you say, come. We see it in your word, Lord. I see this promise. Maybe there's some here tonight that are needing, Lord, a fulfillment of that promise. Maybe they need healing. Maybe they need deliverance. Maybe they need you to provide something in their life. Healing in their family. Whatever it may be, Lord, promise in your word. I pray, Lord, that they would just take a hold of that tonight. Lord, and that you would come and speak to them as they cry out and say, Lord, bid me walk into this promise. And Lord, I pray that you would just come and speak to them and make it real to them, that they would hear you say, come. I made that promise for you. I knew that you would be here needing that, and I made the promise. It's for you tonight. May they hear you. Speak those words, oh God, to them. May your Spirit just come and anoint that word, anoint those promises. And Lord, when they hear that, may they not falter, may they not stumble, may they not hesitate, Lord, but may they step in faith and receive that promise, no matter what the circumstances around them say. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace and mercy. And even, Lord, we know when we falter and we stumble and we lose focus, Lord, you're there to pick us up. You're there to remind us and lift us and to save us. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so gracious. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we say thank you. And we acknowledge, Lord, that you are God. You are King. You are the Lord of the winds and the waves, the maker of the seas. You are God tonight. We love you, Lord. You're our Father. Lord, we want to just take time to pray for the young people, Lord, as we have this meeting Saturday night. Father, I pray that you would just move, Lord, in their lives. May each and every one come with an expectation, Lord. And may you just move in a supernatural way, Lord, in that meeting and then in every one of their lives. I pray, Lord, that parents and family members would see the change in their lives. They would see you moving, and Lord, that you would change them so much that they would say, I see Jesus in my child, my my niece, my nephew, my brother, my sister, that they would be shining examples of young people, of youth, of a new generation living for you, shining the light of Jesus Christ in this dark age. Oh God, it's our desire, Lord. We believe that you've put that burden on our pastor's heart. You've moved and led him to have these meetings for that purpose. Lord, we believe you're going to move, and we thank you for it, Father. Lord, I pray you just bless your children tonight. Bless this word, Father. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let go.